بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها.
Inshallah, we're going to do the tafsir of Surah Al-Shams today, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. And Surah Al-Shams, it means of course the sun. And because there is a mention of the sun in it, the surah is called Al-Shams. This is a Makki surah, and again, the gist of the Makki surahs is always the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making people aware of the people that came before them and what happened to them, and through that learning the lessons from the past history. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is common in these last surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by a number of things, and then he brings about the answer to that oath, or Jawab al-Qasam, and we will go through that. Following that, Allah then mentions the story of Thamud, the people of Thamud, to whom Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, and what happened to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. I take an oath by the sun and its light. So, as we've mentioned before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by something, it is for us to pay attention to that thing, and through paying attention to that thing, gain an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an appreciation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we look at the sun and we look at its light, we look how it shines brightly and it is reliable, it always rises at the right time, it always sets at the right time. Without it we cannot survive, plants cannot survive, humanity cannot survive. So we should understand that how great this sun is, how great must be the creator of that sun. So Allah takes an oath and he says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. I swear by the sun and its shining. Duha actually means the time of forenoon, the time when the sun is shining at its brightest. But it can also mean the actual shining of the sun, and the fact that it shines, it doesn't just shine during the daytime, it shines all the time. Because if it's not shining here right now, it's shining somewhere else. Okay, so 24 hours a day, the light of the sun is shining on any given part of the globe. So Allah swears by that and says, I swear by the sun and its shining. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And I swear by the moon, the full moon, when it follows it. When it follows what? When it follows the sun. Okay, so the sun goes down, we do not see it anymore. But following that, we will see the moon shining in the sky. And of course it goes through all of its phases, and we see it with a new moon, and then the crescent gets bigger until it gets into a half moon and then a full moon, and then it starts diminishing slowly again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They ask you about the hilal, the hilals, the new moons, tell us about them. So the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that they are your things that through which you set your timings for your months and for the time of Hajj. So the moon, it comes again and again, again on the same phases, time after time after time, and it doesn't give up, and we see it at all times. So I swear by the moon when it follows it, when it follows what? When it follows the sun. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, and I swear by the daytime when it overpowers it. Overpowers what? Overpowers, some scholars say that it overpowers the darkness. Okay, in the previous ayah, it talks about the moon and it's shining, but of course it is during the darkness, during the night. So in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about an oath of the daytime. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, I swear by the day when it overpowers it. And again, and some scholars also say, I swear by the day when it overpowers the sun, meaning that the sun is controlling the day, and the because of the sun, the day is there. So basically the day is the sun is the day. So some scholars say that it refers to that. So I swear by the day when it overpowers it. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and I swear by the night when it covers it. So going back to the previous verse again, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, the meaning can also be, I swear by the day when it covers it, meaning it covers the world. Okay, so the world could be the reference over there, and the same thing applies here. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and I swear by the night when it covers it. Covers what? Covers the world, or covers the sun, meaning because the night comes, the sun disappears. So I swear by the night when it covers it. And according to hadith, the overpowering and the covering, it is mentioned in a hadith that إِذَا جَاءَ اللَّيْلُ قَالَ الرَّبُّ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ غَشِيَ عِبَادِي خَلْقِي الْعَظِيمِ, that my slaves have been overpowered or covered with one of my great creations. What is that great creation? The night. فَاللَّيْلُ تَحَابُهُ, the night is something that it makes him scared. He is scared of the night. Why? It's dark, you know, people go out and, you know, do the stealing and robbing and murdering and all of the rest of the things that happen at night. So because of the night, a person gets afraid. But in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَهُ أَحَقُّ أَن يُحَابُ, the one who created the night, he has more right that he should be feared. The haybah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be there at all times. He is with you night or day. He is watching you night and day. His knowledge is with you night and day. So therefore, you should be more afraid of him than you are afraid of the night. So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and I swear by the night when it covers it. And again, the covering it can mean many things. The world, the sun, and humanity, etc., etc. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, and I swear by the skies and its creation. This ma in the middle, it has two meanings. Either it's a ma mastariya, in which case the meaning would be, I swear by the skies and its creation. That look how wonderful the creation is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the skies and their beauty, the fact that they are without any pillars and they are full of stars which shine at night, and so on and so forth. So its creation is something to take an oath over and to ponder over and to marvel at. And the other meaning is ma, it means man, and I swear by the skies and who created them. I swear by the skies and who created them. So in this case, taking an oath by himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling people that look at how great the skies are, and understand from that who is the creator, who created those skies, how great he is. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, I swear by the earth and its spreading. طَحَاهَا, there are meanings for it. One meaning is دَحَاهَا, دَحَاهَا meaning the beautification of the and the perfection of the earth after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, then He beautified it with trees and so on and so forth. So some scholars say that Dahaha means Dahaha, meaning the beautification of the earth. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, خَلَقَ فِيهَا. Dahaha means He created in it. He created everything in it. And Mujahid, Qatada and Dahaq, they say Dahaha means Basataha. Basataha means He spread it out like a carpet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spread the earth out. So wal ardi wa ma tahaha, I swear by the earth and its spreading. And again, ma can be both. Ma tahaha and its creation, its spreading and so on. And ma can also mean man. Who created it? Who spread it out? Who beautified it? Ponder over that and understand through that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And I swear by the nafs and its sawaha, its perfection. The thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us, and each one of us, when we were born, when we are children, we are innocent. Okay, we have within us an innocence, and as we get older, we corrupt that innocence by committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created our nafs, and He created us, and He perfected us. He perfected us in a way that we know what is right and what is wrong. And this is the basic gist of the hadith. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. All children are born on the fitra. All children are born on that perfect nature of understanding what is right and what is wrong. In a riwayat of Muslim, there's a hadith Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا. I created my slaves hunafa, meaning people who are hanif, and they are, you know, their attention is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happened? فَجَاءَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ. The shayateen came to them and they led them astray from their deen, from their religion. So what does it actually mean then? وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He perfected the nafs. That means that when we are, before we become baligh, before we become adolescent, we have within us this instinct of knowing what is right and what is wrong. So when a person actually commits a sin, what happens to him is that in the beginning, he feels very, very uncomfortable about committing that sin. He feels very bad about it. And this is what is the gist of that hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Istafti qalbak, ask the fatwa from your heart. When you are about to embark on something, then istafti qalbak, you are your biggest mufti. Your heart is your biggest mufti. Okay? Walau afta'aka an-nas, even if people are giving you fatwas. That is in the case when you haven't corrupted your heart. If your heart is not corrupt, then your heart will tell you what is right and what is wrong. That's why in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-ithmu ma haka fi sadrik wa karihta an yattali alayhi an-nas." The sin is something that you feel uncomfortable about it in your heart, and you are afraid that people are going to find out about it. If these two things are found in an action that you are about to commit, then it's highly likely that thing is not right, and it's highly likely that it's a sin. So your heart tells you what is right and what is wrong. But unfortunately, what we do, we then corrupt our heart by committing that sin again and again and again, until then we don't feel uncomfortable about it anymore. So this is something that we need to think about. We talked about that a little bit at the end of Surah Al-Fajr, also the three stages of the nafs. And I don't want to go into that again, but this is basically what it means, that Allah swears by the nafs and its perfection. And again, ma can mean man also. And I swear by the nafs and who perfected it. I swear by who perfected it. After that, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. After creating the nafs and perfecting it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made ilham to the nafs about what is right and what is wrong. Okay, so each one of us knows what is right and what is wrong. So فَأَلْهَمَهَا إِلْهَام means inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless a person is, you know, mental or deranged or crazy, he will not be able to differentiate. But a person who is sane, he knows what is right and what is wrong. Each one of us know that it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to, you know, harm anybody. We know that, instinctively we know that. We really don't need any ahadith or anything to tell us that. We know what is right and what is wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired us and He has put it into our hearts what is right and what is wrong. So فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the ilham of the fujur, meaning the wrong and the sins that a person commits, and the taqwa also, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has also been instilled into a human being. But again, what we do is we tend to corrupt that natural instinctiveness that we have because we commit sins. If we stay away from ma'asi, if we stay away from sins, then that thing, that calculator that we have within us, that inbuilt estimation that we have within us, it stays correct. And if we corrupt it by committing sins, then, you know, the lines become blurred. Okay, then we go into the haram, we go into the ma'asi, and we don't feel uncomfortable about it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said a very beautiful hadith that al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin. Halal is clear and haram is clear. And baynahuma umurun mushtabihat. Between them, there are things that are mushtabih, that are doubtful. Okay, so when a person, he delves into those doubtful things, it is like a person who has his pasture, he has sheep, and he takes his sheep and he grazes them right at the edge of somebody else's pasture, right on the edge of somebody else's fields. What happens? For sure, his sheep are going into somebody else's fields, and they're going to graze into those fields. So what he's supposed to do is keep the sheep and his herds away from the edge of the land so that his sheep do not go into the other person's land. At the end of the hadith, the Prophet said, "Ala inna himallahi maharimuhu." The hima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pastures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are his maharim, the things that he has made haram. So if you are going along the edge, basically, you know, not worrying about the doubtful things, oh, it's only, you know, doubtful, we don't know if it's halal, it's not haram, and it's okay, we'll take it, no problem, we'll eat it, you know, there's a gray area. The next step will be that you will for sure go into haram. This is the thing, beautiful example that the Prophet ﷺ gave us. So to avoid those lines becoming blurred, it's very important to make sure that we are always engaging in halal and not engaging in something that takes us into the haram. So فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the nafs with what is right and what is wrong, or what is wrong and what is right, according to that translation. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Now, after taking an oath of all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath of the sun and its light, and the moon and its following the sun, and the daytime and its light, and the night and its covering people with the darkness, and the sky and its creation, the earth and its beautification and its spreading out, and by the nafs, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the nafs the indication of what is right and what is wrong, he took an oath by all of these things. Okay, this is the oath, this is the qasam. So after a qasam, what happens? We have in Arabic, it's called jawabul qasam. You take an oath. When you take an oath, you say, wallahi, this is the oath. And then jawabul qasam is, I didn't do this, or I did do this. Okay, so wallahi, I did do this, I didn't do this, this, I did, I didn't, this is jawabul qasam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by all of these things, and the next verse is the jawabul qasam. What is the next verse, or the two verses? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. What is the jawabul qasam? Indeed, the person who purified his nafs, who did tazkiyah of his nafs, he has indeed become successful. He purified himself, he kept away from sin. When he kept away from sin, his nafs gained that status of becoming a nafsul mutma'inna, that tranquil nafs, that nafs which does not even dare to or doesn't even consider committing any sins anymore. So that person who purified his nafs to such a degree, qad aflah, indeed he has become successful. And the person who corrupted his nafs, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا, indeed the person who corrupted his nafs, that person has become unsuccessful and he has failed. Indeed, he has failed who corrupted it. Corrupted what? Corrupted his nafs. So this is the Jawab al-Qasam. This is the fruit of the whole surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bring about. And all of those previous verses, all of those previous ayat, they were a build-up for you to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make a qasam, and he's taking an oath about something which is very, very important. Otherwise, why would he take so many oaths? Why would he swear by all of those other things just to bring about two very small ayat? But those very small ayat, they have a very powerful message. And if we understand that message, then indeed we will become successful by putting into practice what that message is. So the Jawab al-Qasam is, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, indeed the person who purifies his nafs, he has become successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا, and the person who corrupted his nafs, he has become unsuccessful and he has failed. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِتَغْوَاهَا, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِتَغْوَاهَا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about the story of the people of Thamud. And we know in brief what the story was. The Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to the people of Thamud. These people were experienced in carving cities out of rocks. I mean, if you can, you know, go to on the internet and look for Mada'in Salih. Mada'in Salih. This is what this city is called. It is in the north of Saudi Arabia. This place, if you look at it, I mean, there are beautiful palaces carved into red rock, and it just looks phenomenal how these people, they used to do that. Beautiful, beautifully created. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he destroyed these people. Why? Because they disobeyed their Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. Their demand was that, okay, if you're a prophet, bring a miracle to us. Okay, what was the miracle that they wanted? It was a she-camel, and that she-camel should be pregnant and it should come out of the rock. So this is what happened. Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this she-camel came, pregnant she-camel, and it gave birth right in front of their eyes. It came out from the very rocks that they were, you know, that they were so experienced in building. So this camel was huge, huge camel, and Salih alayhi salatu wasalam told them that one day will be for your flocks, your herds of sheep to drink from the well, and one day this camel will drink. Okay, so for a time they stood by that deal, but after a while they got tired. They said, you know, this camel is just getting on our nerves. And according to some mufassireen, a woman from the people of Thamud, she provoked a person whose name was Qidar ibn Salif. And this person, she basically said that if you kill this camel, then I will marry you. So basically he went through with it. He stood up and all of the people were supporting him in this. He killed the camel. And after that, of course, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the punishment and they were destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Indeed, the people of Thamud, they denied. Why? بِطَغْوَاهَا, because of the transgression of their nafs. Because of the transgression of their nafs, because they transgressed, and because they wanted to follow their desires, they wanted to follow what their nafs was telling them, they denied Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, they denied the message of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا, when the most misfortunate from among them stood up to do what? To kill the camel. He was the most misfortunate. It was because of him that the punishment came down, and of course, you know, he will be punished until the Day of Judgment because of what he did. He destroyed the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا. The Prophet of Allah had told them, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam had told them, نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ, beware of the camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسُقْيَاهَا, and beware of the turn it has for drinking. Suqya, from the word saqa yasqi, you know, give it its turn. One day it's for the camel, and one day it's for your flocks and your herds. So they disobeyed him. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَهَا. The Prophet of Allah said to them, beware of the camel of Allah and its drinking. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. So they denied him, they disbelieved him, and they hamstrung the camel. Hamstrung meaning they chopped off its legs. And this is the way that, you know, in some cases the camel is slaughtered, even in the Middle East to this day. The leg is cut in a specific place which makes it fall down, and then it is slaughtered. So there are different ways of doing it. Some people, they tie up one of the legs of the camel, and then they do what is known as nahr, basically stabbing it right below the neck. It's stabbed. So nahr is something that is, you know, different to dhabh. Is when you actually cut the three veins of the neck. But the camel is killed by doing nahr, stabbing it right in the neck over here. And then when it falls down, that's when they actually cut off the neck also. So, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. They hamstrung the camel, meaning they chopped its legs off. So what happened? فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. دَمْدَمَ, there are different meanings of what دَمْدَمَ means. دَمْدَمَ, it means when the qabr is closed. When the qabr, the grave is closed upon a person, this is known as damdama. When the cover is basically completely closed and the dirt is put on a person, what happens? The person is completely enclosed in the dirt. He cannot get out of there. He's completely sealed. So damdama alayhim rabbuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically sent down his punishment completely to a degree that it was completely around them. And other scholars say that damdama means, it just means ihlak, to destroy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because of their sin. And another interpretation from a linguistic point of view is damdama is when a camel is covered in fat. When a camel is completely covered in fat, that is known as damdama also. So whatever it means, it basically means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a punishment upon them which completely covered them. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ, because of their sin. فَسَوَّاهَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He equaled it. Equaled, it can have two meanings. That basically they became equal to the earth. They were all equal to the earth, they were all flattened. Okay, that's one meaning. And it can also mean is that He dealt with everybody the same way. Why? Because each one of them were supporting the cause. They were supporting killing the camel. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He dealt with them equally, and all of them were destroyed in that punishment, except of course the followers of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. فَسَوَّاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. And Allah did not fear any kind of revenge or any kind of reproach for doing what He did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no fear from anybody. He doesn't get avenged in any way, shape or form. If He wants to punish, He will punish. And there's another interpretation of this. The other interpretation is وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. It means that those people that did what they did, they were not afraid of the outcome. They were not afraid of the outcome. They did what they did, but of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did punish them after that. But this was how daring they were in the sense that, you know, this camel, this miracle, it came out of a rock because you demanded it, and it happened right before your eyes, and you are so daring that you are not afraid of killing that animal, that camel that has been sent to you as a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is something that is unbelievable. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, that they were not even afraid of the outcome of killing that camel. This was how beyond reproach these people were, that you know, they were beyond being talked to and being advised. So basically this is Surah Ash-Shams, and from that we understand basically that the summary is that when a person, he works on his nafs, then he can become a person who is successful. But then when he transgresses against his nafs and he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he can become like these people of Thamud, who were so daring that they could kill even a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without even fearing reproach. So this is something that we learn from this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. محسن سے سیکھ لیں, یہ جا رہے ہیں انڈیا مئی کینڈ میں, تو ذمہ داری آپ ذرا سنبھالیں. نہیں انہیں کیا ہے پر آئی کین بریک مائی اکاؤنٹ. ہاں میں لے آؤں گا ان شاء اللہ. اس کا کوئی خاص کنفیگریشن نہیں ہے, اٹس جسٹ گو ٹو دا ویب سائٹ, دیٹس آل. چھوڑ کے جائیں گے.